Welcome to another chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, where we give you a deeper look into your favorite Christian authors and the inspirations, research, and methodology that goes into writing the books you love to read. Here's your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Hello and welcome to the next chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn. Today's chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast is sponsored by MD House, an independent Christian fiction writer and author of I Was Barabbas and the science fiction novel Patriot Star. You can follow MD House at mdhouselive.com. Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you wrote a second book in your series called Pillars of Barabbas. And it's, you imagine Barabbas after he's been freed instead of Jesus. I would love to know how that came about for you, how the idea for this type of series came about.
Well, it's a fascinating story. And Barabbas is both unknown and infamous. Very well known, right? So we don't know hardly anything about him. There's not many mentions made of him. He's a thief and a murderer and an insurrectionist. He was a notable Roman prisoner. And that's kind of all we know. And then he was released in place of Jesus, who then was crucified. And in that moment, you have to think that, one, he was probably mentally shocked at first. He had been preparing himself to die, and all of a sudden he was free. And he probably saw Jesus and had some interaction with him. And he would have been curious as to what is really going on and who is this person. And he would have then had a series of choices to make. Does he ask the questions? Does he find out more about Jesus of Nazareth? And does he follow him? And we don't know what he did. But book one is about him asking those questions of himself and coming to some conclusions and making some changes in his life. And I certainly apply that to my own life and my own experience. I certainly am a Barabbas-like person who has done bad things, and I need to turn to the Savior and accept his ability to redeem me, right? So that I can forgive myself and move forward and become, achieve the potential that I have as a son of God. We all have that potential as sons and daughters of God, and that's what Christ wants for us, is to achieve that potential. He's there to help us. So it was an interesting story for me to think about and apply to myself.
What type of research did you have to do based off of history and politics at the time? Mm-hmm.
Well, I did a lot of really interesting research. I won't ever be accused of being able to write a PhD dissertation on ancient Roman or Jewish history, but it was interesting to investigate that time period and the people that lived there and understand what was going on, because I wanted to be able to put myself there, and I certainly wanted readers to be able to put themselves there. And then, more importantly, I wanted them to be able to identify with those people, because they're really the same as us. They face all of the same kinds of challenges and temptations. We have lots of technology, but that's just fancy wrapping paper. It doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day. They were real people. And I love how other people approach this as well. So I'm a fan of The Chosen. And you hear Dallas Jenkins talk about, and his father, Jerry Jenkins, who just wrote the novelization of the first season. And they talk about how they're trying to help people really identify with those early disciples and understand that they were real people and they weren't perfect.
Right.
And we aren't perfect, and we have lots of challenges, but we're all called to build the kingdom of God. And we can do that together with the Lord's help.
Now, you have several significant biblical figures in this book. How did you choose them and why?
Well, that's interesting. There were lots to choose from. I certainly love the Apostle Paul, and Paul is a mentor for Barabbas in both books one and book two. Mm-hmm. And I loved getting into the mind of Paul. So book one was all written from Barabbas's perspective. It was all written in the first person, which I hadn't done before, but it was a fascinating experience and really helped me get further into the story and understand him better, the character better. Mm-hmm. But then for book two, I went through all of the writings that we have of Paul, and I took detailed notes. I took 400 lines of notes on everything that Paul said and how he said it. And I was trying to understand him better. Mm-hmm. so that I could start to speak from his perspective to the best of my ability, right? I'm not going to be perfect at that. So in book two, I get to write from his perspective, and he gets to have conversations with some really interesting people too, like the Emperor Nero. And that was really fascinating to do. I'm not writing from the perspective of Nero in book two. It's always from the perspective of Paul or someone else or Barabbas. But those conversations were fascinating as well. And then Cornelius was another one that I really loved doing. So I brought in Cornelius. And we all know the basic story of Cornelius, who he was, a Roman centurion and the first Gentile that was baptized by the Apostle Peter. But then we don't know anything about him after that. He drops off the map. And there's some traditions out there that, you know, he certainly he probably, you know, remained a member of the church, and he helped the apostles. He helped build the kingdom. He had skills. He had resources. He had connections. He could have helped in a lot of ways. But I loved thinking through, you know, Cornelius and his life, and he gets involved, and I'm not going to tell you exactly how, but I liked thinking about him as a centurion. So he was a trained soldier, and he was trained to seek, engage, and destroy the enemy, right, as a centurion. And he probably had to do that sometimes. But then he got a new commander in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ wants his troops to make most of the tactical decisions, and His orders aren't to seek, engage, and destroy the enemy, but to seek, engage, and save the enemy if at all possible. So he wanted to save the Romans as well as the Jews, as well as everybody else.
Now, book one's theme is redemption. What is book two's theme?
So book two has a lot to do with the courage of those early Christian saints and how they built the church and how it just exploded in growth and all of the challenges they faced. Mm-hmm. As the church grew and became more powerful, the political influences that were already in place became jealous, and that always causes repercussions, right? And they had to certainly deal with those things. So there was that aspect of it. And then the other aspect of the growth of the church, the growth of the kingdom of God, was the fact that the reason God wanted and Christ wanted his church to grow was so that each individual could benefit from it. It wasn't a collective achievement sort of thing, right? It was each individual can achieve salvation by working together, helping each other in this organization called a church. Mm-hmm. That's the purpose of the church. It wasn't to get glory for Christ's name. It was to help us. And so that's really the thrust of book two. And there's some really, like I said, really interesting interactions you get to have with, you know, political leaders and otherwise, because they faced all the same sorts of challenges we face today. The politics of today, we like to say they're so awful. Well, they were at least as bad in Rome. They were actually at least as bad at the founding of this country. If you read some of the documents from the founding of this country, wow, the politics were just as nasty.
Yeah.
So it's human nature.
And you use a lot of women in prominent leadership roles in this book. Why is that?
Well, I'm sure, 100% sure, that you know, when Christ returned after he was resurrected, and he sat down with his disciples, men and women both, and trained them on how to build the kingdom, how to grow his church, how to keep the doctrine pure, how to administer things. He taught them how to work together as men and women. And we're far more powerful working together as men and women, not just groups of men and groups of women going off and doing separate things, and not just husbands and wives, but men and women counseling together, making decisions, executing those decisions. We're far more powerful in building the kingdom that way than any other way. And so I'm sure that's how he trained them. And I'm fascinated to think about, for instance, Mary appears in book one, and Barabbas gets to meet Mary, the mother of Jesus, and have a brief conversation with her. That was fun to write. And then in book two, we don't see Mary, but we hear of her passing. We do see Joanna come into the story. And it's really interesting to think about if we had some of their writings versus just all of the, you know, the apostolic writings that we have. I would be fascinated just to see some of Mary's correspondence with other saints, right? I wish we had that. I'm sure those existed at some time, right? And then over, you know, 2,000 years is a long time, and all of that has been, you know, lost or destroyed or accidentally or otherwise.
Yeah. Now, what lesson do you want the reader to take away from Pillars of Barabbas?
Well, certainly the primary lesson is that Jesus is the Christ and he has the power to redeem us. And we need to learn to accept that and forgive ourselves in addition to forgiving others and keep moving forward. He won't ever force us to accept his help. He's always there. He's always providing miracles. I've become more and more aware of those miracles, not only as I've written books like this, but just as I've lived life and tried to be more observant and tried to increase my faith in Christ. I've become more aware of all of the things that he does. He's always there to help us. He just won't force us. Satan's plan is to force us. He wants to force us to obey. He wants to make false promises and he wants glory. But like I said before, that's not what Christ is about. Jesus wants us to achieve our potential as individual sons and daughters of God. And that potential is amazing. We are powerful beings, far more powerful than we know. Our potential is unlimited. And we may have been born into this life with different talents and maybe a different sphere of influence, smaller or larger, right? But at the end of the day, he's going to judge us on what we did with those talents, whether we had five talents or two talents or one talent, as the parable goes, right? He's going to judge us on how what we did with the talents that we have, and our potential at the end of the day is all the same in the eternities.
Anything you can tell us about book three?
I can tell you a little bit about book three. I've been doing the last couple of weeks some detailed planning on book three. I always knew it was going to include the siege of Jerusalem by the Romans, by the Roman general Titus, who later became emperor in 70 AD. And that was an absolutely horrific event. But you think about, you then start to think about, well, what were the saints doing at that time? What were they thinking about that? Did they leave Jerusalem? There's a lot of tradition around and a little bit of historical fact or support for the fact that the Christians probably left Jerusalem or were called to leave Jerusalem before the siege, so they didn't get caught in it. And so, you know, we get to deal with that. And boy, it's just amazing as you go through some of this planning, you're working through it and you hit a couple of roadblocks and then you get through one and things just start to expand and it's coming along really nicely. I'm almost done with the detailed planning, so I'll start writing that soon. I'm writing a couple of other books as too, the sequel to Patriot Star, that's coming along well. So I've got lots going on and it's good to be busy and good to keep going on this because I enjoy it.
Oh, great. And that's exciting and a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us today for the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn. Thank you, MD House, for joining us today to talk about the Pillars of Barabbas. There are more details below in the chapter notes. If you like this chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, click the subscribe button below so you don't miss another chapter.
Thanks for listening to Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. Stay up to date on all things Christian fiction at familyfiction.com. Christian Fiction Bookshelf is produced by Ross Kluver, hosted by Jamie Vaughn, and edited by Brandon Woolham. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss a chapter.